It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Chuck Anzalevich. A conversation this morning with a man who traced the path of pioneer legend Daniel Boone and wrote a book about it.
I walked a lot of asphalt because this route that Boone had traced back in 1775, over time they grew up and became the basis of a lot of our road systems.
That story coming up on this West Virginia morning. I'm Chuck Anzalevich. Roan General Hospital is expanding over the next year and a half. Roxy Todd reports the small rural hospital will offer more preventive and specialty care as a result of the upgrade.
Roan General Hospital is expanding over the next year and a half. The small rural hospital will offer more preventative wellness care as a result of the upgrade. Roan General Hospital is spending about $22 million to renovate its facilities in Spencer, West Virginia. A loan of $26 million from the U.S. Department of Agriculture will cover most of the expansion. There will be a new medical office building offering more preventative wellness care for the community, including a gym and fitness center, free educational classes, health screenings, and support groups. People of Roan County have lower than average health outcomes, quality of life, and longevity compared with other counties across West Virginia and the country. This is according to a report last year by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. And many rural hospitals across the country are closing or consolidating. CEO Doug Bent says he thinks Roan General Hospital will be able to stay financially viable by offering more specialty outpatient care, like chemotherapy. Currently, patients in Wirt and Roan counties have to travel more than an hour to Parkersburg or Charleston to receive this type of care.
But that's something that is very, very taxing in terms of if you think about a community member that has to drive 3, 4, 5 days a week, an hour, hour and a half, and to go sit in a chair and receive chemo for 3 to 4 hours and then drive back, what a burden that is.
Roan General Hospital is the county's largest private employer and has more than 300 employees. That number is expected to grow with this expansion, which is scheduled to be completed by May 2021. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Roxy Todd.
In 2013, Jim Dahlman set out to learn more about Appalachia by walking Daniel Boone's Wilderness Road from Tennessee into Kentucky. He is a journalist and a professor of communications at Milligan College in Tennessee and decided to document his walk. From the trip, he wrote A Familiar Wilderness, Searching for Home on Daniel Boone's Road. It's a collection of history, modern observations, and interviews with people he met along the way. Eric Douglas spoke to Dahlman over Skype to find out more.
Describe what this project was. Describe what you set out to do.
Yeah, the idea first came to me when I was on a drive back from visiting family up north down to my adopted home in Tennessee, stopped off at the Cumberland Gap, took a short hike just to stretch my legs, and saw the signs for Wilderness Road, and I kind of flashed back to all these grade school history lessons about Daniel Boone and the Wilderness Road and opening up the West. And so historically, it just made a impact on me. But then as a journalist, I started thinking, well, you know, what is it like now? What are sort of the reverberations of all that we can see now? And so that was the first hint of the project for me.
So what was the scope of the project? What mileage, that kind of thing?
The mileage was probably somewhere between 275 and 300 miles altogether. I started at Sycamore Shoals State Park in just outside of Elizabethton, Tennessee, which is about 5 miles from my front door, and ended at Fort Boonesboro, Kentucky. And the roads I followed, just to clear up one common misperception, is it in no way resembles a hike on the Appalachian Trail or anything like that. About 90% of my mileage was along the sides of highways. I walked a lot of asphalt because this route that Boone had traced back in 1775 became the basis of very popular travel paths. And over time, they grew up to be overwritten and became the basis of a lot of our road systems.
One of the motivations for taking this walk came from some personal tragedy. Do you want to discuss that at all? Or
I guess the backstory, you might say, is that my first wife, Melissa, had contracted, she had inherited Huntington's disease, which is a genetically based disease, no cure. And so she had been declining for many years. And she died in November of 2012. I took the hike. I started the hike in May of 2013, almost 6 months to the day afterwards. And so, yes, this was part of the backstory. But I guess I want to be clear that this wasn't sort of the motivating thing. It wasn't like a quest to go out and as it were, find myself or something like that, at least not consciously. My prime motivation was actually out of more journalistic, I guess you'd call journalistic curiosity about how this route, the Wilderness Road, or more properly Boone's Trace, as I came to learn, had sort of grown up and okay, what did this 240-year-old route mean today?
In the book, you described you had traveled a lot around with your first wife, but in general, and you didn't really feel like you had a home or a place of home that you could call for yourself. So was this part of that discovery?
I had grown up in New York City and Tampa, and throughout my adult life, moved around to several places, both in the States and in England. Came to Milligan to teach 20 years ago now, 1999. And I had hoped that, yeah, this would be the place that would ultimately feel like home, because it always seemed like something was missing. But after 13 years of living here, that was the time frame when I'd worked on the project, there still felt like, okay, we're not quite there yet. I don't know what home actually is supposed to feel like. And so that was part of it as well. And so the trip became in part a personal desire to get to know my adopted region better.
What did you learn about Appalachia?
Well, in some cases, it confirmed what I suspected. One is that Appalachia is more diverse than I think a lot of people give it credit for, you might say. It was good to see that, yeah, there's a lot of diversity in the way people think, their attitudes about everything from belief in God to their attitudes about the land and what we should be doing on the land or with the land. A lot of diversity in economic situations. I met some people who are very, you know, very prosperous. Matter of fact, most of the people I met, I would say, are in that, you know, I would say they're you know, solidly middle class. But there are also, of course, a lot of people who are struggling in deep, deep poverty. And so this was, in a sense, a confirmation of what I already suspected, but it was good to see it up close and actually talk to people who otherwise I would not have had a chance to meet.
That was Milligan College Communications Professor Jim Dahlman speaking to Eric Douglas about Dahlman's book, A Familiar Wilderness, Searching for Home on Daniel Boone's Road. This interview is part of a series with authors from or writing about Central Appalachia. Iconic singer-songwriter and producer Nick Lowe was at the helm of Elvis Costello's first five albums. It was Costello who popularized Lowe's song, What's So Funny About Peace, Love, and Understanding. At a recent performance on Mountain Stage, Lowe and his band Los Straitjackets reprised the hit, It's Our Mountain Stage, Song of the Week.
This is called What's So Funny About Peace, Love, and Understanding. As as I walk this wicked world, searching for light in the darkness of insanity. I ask myself, is all hope lost? Is there only pain, hatred, and misery? And each time I feel like this inside, there's one thing I wanna know. What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? Ooh, what's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? And as I walk on through troubled times, my spirit gets so downhearted sometimes. Where are the strong? Who are the trusted? And where is the harmony, sweet harmony? 'Cause each time I feel it slipping away, it just makes me wanna cry. What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? Ooh, what's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? And where is the harmony? 'Cause each time I feel it slipping away, you know, it just makes me wanna cry. What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? Understanding. Understanding, brother. Understanding, sister. Understanding.
No straitjackets.
That was Nick Lowe and Los Straitjackets performing What's So Funny About Peace, Love, and Understanding live on Mountain Stage. To hear this and more, tune in Friday and Saturday nights at 8, right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Public Broadcasting, West Virginia Morning, rather, is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest news throughout the day on our website, WVPublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our Appalachia Health News Project is made possible with support from CAMC and Marshall Health. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Caitlin Tan, Jessica Lilly, Kara Lofton, Liz McCormick, Dave Mistich, Brittany Patterson, Eric Douglas, Corey Nollinger, Emily Allen, and Roxy Todd. Our news director is Jesse Wright. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Chuck Anzalevich.